God has a plan for us, doesn't he? He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And I'm so thankful and grateful that he comes and finds us. Amen. That wherever we are, the Lord is there with us. We need to believe that. Sometimes we forget. I think it's easy to forget. And that's kind of what I've been preaching on. I started on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And then last week I got into it again, and I want to speak about this again. It's easy to forget that the Lord is right there with us. It's actually easy to forget so many things that he's done in our lives. The Lord's done so many miracles. He's given us so much. And then as soon as something goes just a little bit wrong, or something is just a little bit out of our understanding, we start questioning the entire reality of God, right? It's not just that we question that area, but all of a sudden he doesn't answer one little prayer and we start saying things, does God exist? We literally question, does he even exist at all, because he didn't do one thing. And it's just like a child that you've done good for them, you know, you've done all these things for them, right? And they don't get one ice cream cone, and then they cry and complain they hate you because you didn't do one single thing in their lives. And it's so funny, and yet that's exactly what we do to God when we don't remember and trust him for all the things that he's done, everything that he's given us. And then when we don't understand something that he's doing, for us to act like that is just like that child. It's very immature, but praise God that his grace and mercy is there, that just like a good parent, right, we don't kick the kid out on the street and say, well, you know what, you don't respect me, you don't understand the way I'm trying to raise you, so go live your own life at 6 years old. Thank God that we're gracious to them, right, and we continue to love them and teach them, even though they don't understand. They may go in their room for the night, right, that particular day because of their rebellion, but praise God that just like that child, the next morning when they wake up again, the Bible says, my mercies are new every morning, right? That when the next day comes and they wake up, the child forgets and the parent loves them the same as when he put them to bed, right? And now that parent loves that child again the next morning. Amen. So the Lord is with us. He's calling us. And that's really been what he was doing in 2024, was calling us closer. Who has noticed that the Lord's calling you closer? Something happened when we crossed over into 24. I don't know why certain seasons and times are just like that, but certain times are different in your life. And we need to learn to just embrace them, and not, we don't need to try to figure it all out. But sometimes we're at mountaintops, right? And sometimes we're in valleys, right? God's with us through it all. Who loves the mountaintops with God, right? When everything is perfect and everything is great, we love those times. But Psalm 23 says that he's also with us, right, at death's door, in the shadow of death, right? When we don't understand, when it's dark and we're in that really lonely, dark place, we don't realize that he's still there with us. He leads us through it all. But something has happened in 2024, and God is awakening us. And that's kind of what I began to, I heard from the Lord as we were leaving 23 and 24 and going into the season, is that if you would knock, he would answer. If you would call upon him, he would answer. And I believe that's what God is doing. And I'm going to ask this question today. This is an interesting question. And I said it to Dawn. Dawn gave me her answer. I said, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Right? Dawn says the chicken, right? Did the egg come first or the chicken come first? You know, were you there, right? The whole thing is that no one knows, because they're technically both a chicken, right? All right, so the answer is not, there is no, it's a circular answer. And the question is, do you believe God because you've seen him, you've seen what he's done, right? Or have you, or do you believe so that one day you'll see him? And this is a circular question in the same way, because I want to say two things. First of all, if you're sitting here today, then God came and called you first. That's what my Bible says, and we can all pinpoint those moments where we weren't really even seeking. Maybe you were in a broken, dark place. You know, maybe you were in a good place. I don't know where you were at, but there was a time when all of a sudden you knew that I need to know God. All right, and it wasn't something that you just thought of. That was God that had been calling you your whole life, or calling you back. Maybe you were close to the Lord, but he starts calling you back. And right, who can pinpoint those moments? And yet, there was something that happened. You responded. And now your response, God came and showed himself. Maybe he didn't show his whole self, but he showed a piece of himself. I need to know this Jesus. I don't know who you are. I don't know what this means. I don't know what following you is going to mean, but I want this, whatever that is. Right? Who said something like that to the Lord? I don't know what this means, to this Jesus, but I want this Jesus. So there's something that began to happen in your heart, a spark that, and I've had this word spark in my spirit all morning. I just keep praying it because I see this thing that in Timothy it says you need to fan into flames. There is something that God does, and we can take that principle, and I just had it in prayer this morning too, go back to the Old Testament, and the Bible says when the temple was in a building and not in your heart, who knows the temple's in your heart right now? Who knows you didn't come into a church? We are the church who meets in a building, right? So we are the temple. This is where God's presence is, right in here. That's why God's doing something inside your heart. He calls you from within. But before it was in you and it was in a building, when God's presence, that's where it dwelt, was in a building, God's presence came down like a fire, and then he gave a command to the priest, never let this fire go out. So God began the process. There was an interaction between you and him. Come on. The Lord comes and calls us. No man can come to me unless they've been drawn or they've been called, the scriptures say. And yet then you responded, even though you didn't even understand what that meant, and said, Lord, I give you my life. Lord, take my life. Take this thing that I'm just going to present it like it is. It's broken. It's messy. But here it is. And maybe you were like, you know what? If you want it, you can have it. I don't know what the words were for you or where you were at in your life, but you gave him your life. And then God responds with doing something on his part. And it's been this God approaching you, you approaching God, God approaching you, you approaching God. And something begins to happen. But I want us to see something today. Nothing happened until you responded. I want you to see that it wasn't just that was your moment. Sometimes we pinpoint those moments and we say that was it. It was just my moment. It was just all these things needed to lead to that point because that's the moment God wanted me saved. I would say yes, but no. I don't think God wanted you to be a drug addict so that you had to be so broken so that then you would finally fall on your knees and turn to him. I don't think that that's what God wanted, but thank God he's gracious enough that finally he had been calling since you were a child and you finally said, I can't do it any longer. Now, some of you, that's not your story. Some of you responded to him as a child and you never left. Maybe you've left in areas in your heart, right? But what I want us to see is that nothing began until you said yes. And then maybe there was a backsliding season in your life. We've all been there, right? Or maybe you didn't walk away completely, but there are things and parts in your life where you grew cold. God wasn't suddenly not calling to you. You think that God's just like, well, they don't want me, I don't want them. That's human. God's not human, is he? He says, my ways are not like your ways. You know what humans do, right? Husbands and wives or friends, they don't want to call me, I'm not going to call them. They don't want to love me, I'm not going to love them. That's a very human way of thinking. That's not how God thinks. God's love is without, listen, it is without any response from us. His love is complete and full, 100% with you responding or not. Because Jesus 2,000 years ago already went to the cross for you before you were even conceived. He already died for you, and our Bible says it's clear why he did it, because he loves us. It's not a question of God loving you. It's not a question of God having a plan and purpose for your life. This comes down to one thing, you being willing to say yes to him. I want us to look in the scriptures. I want to go back to this road to Emmaus. I'm not going to read the whole story, but this story we find in Luke chapter 24. This is when Jesus has been resurrected and he's just showing up now to his disciples. And he's, it is just about to happen. He hasn't met the 11 yet, but there's some talk that maybe he's risen from the dead, right? And so there's these two followers of Jesus walking these 7 miles, and it's the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And they're taking this walk, and they're discussing Christ. They're discussing what happened, what they had hoped he would be. And suddenly something amazing happens. Jesus just shows up in their story and starts walking with them. And now it says that he said to them, "What are you talking about?" As if God doesn't know what you're talking about. You think God doesn't know where you're at in your life? You think God doesn't know what's going on? You think God is surprised by the good or the bad that's in your life? When suddenly we turn to him, we think, oh man, God set up all this stuff so that I could finally just say yes to him. No, you finally just opened your eyes and said, I give up. But I want us to see that even the disciples got into the place, even after they already knew him and they hoped and they believed in him, they got to a place for a moment where they got in their heads. Everybody say they got in their heads. I want us to see today, and I'm going to try to crack this thing open because I know I've got it in here and I've got plenty of text in my iPad, but I'm going to try to get it out into words. I'm having a tough time articulating what I want to say. I'll just try to say it right now and then I'm going to break this thing open. Your mind is your enemy. Your mind is your greatest enemy. You know, the greatest enemy is not Satan. It's your mind. All that Satan can do, we know this. I'm not going to take you through an entire teaching today, but we can go to Genesis with Adam and Eve. We can go to Eve there in the garden, and we can go to James. And I'll just say this quickly. The Bible says clearly that you are drawn away by your own desires. You are not, Satan cannot get you to do anything that you didn't decide to do. You can never point your finger, right? Because that's what they did in the garden, right? Satan got in Eve's head. We're not going to turn there, right? But I go to Genesis probably every other week because this moment is really this, that was the moment where humanity turned from God. And this whole gospel is about turning back. So I find myself at least mentioning Adam and Eve or this moment with Eve every other week. I don't know. Each preacher's got his own message. It's just how it is. Every preacher, right, is there's something that they always talk about. And this is, for me, is something that's just, it's always in me. Because I see this moment, it's the moment where she entertained Satan. Satan began to get her to question things that God said. And when she got into the questioning, that's it. As soon as she entered the questioning, she was already done. Like a game of chess, he's looking ahead 20 spaces and he's like, Eve, I already got you. The moment you questioned God, I already had you. You didn't need to bite the apple yet. Now, the thing is, Satan doesn't force her to do it. She said, it says she looked, it looked good, and it tasted good. Tasted good enough that it wasn't just looks. There was something to this fruit. Apparently good enough that she says, Adam, you need to try this too. And their eyes were opened. Now, Satan had tricked them. He had lied to them, but they did it. And the thing is, in James, now we go to New Testament, we find another parallel. James says, you are drawn away by your own desires, and these desires lead to death. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You just decide, I don't want to go to heaven. It's that simple. Is God really sending you to hell? And I can tell you, I can prove it this way. The Bible says, Jesus loved us while we were still sinners, which means I'm a sinner without Christ. The second thing, you were dead in your sins, which means biblically, not you don't need to try to figure this out in your head because you're like, I feel like I'm alive. I'm sitting here and I think I'm alive. I thought I was breathing and I think I'm alive. You need to understand something. Maybe your body seems like it's alive, but your spirit is dead without Christ. Even though you were born into this earth and, you know, they smacked you on your butt like they do all babies and you cried the first time You start breathing, right? That's to get you to breathe. Right? I'm right about that, right? Yeah. You think you're breathing oxygen, I'm alive. But the Bible says you are born into a curse. You are born into death. You think you're alive, but you're actually dead. Come on, who can testify that when you came to Christ, you came to life? It's so clear now. Your eyes are open to how dead you were without him. And so we need to see something. Your mind was the barrier that needed to be broken. Your mind was the thing that stood in the way for you to just see clearly and say yes. And I found myself meditating on this thought. Jesus said, "My kingdom is a kingdom of children. You want to come to me, you got to become like a child." Why is that? Because a child doesn't think. I mean, they think, but they think differently than us, don't they? You know where a child's thinking is? Imagination. I began to just meditate on this thought. A child imagines. They start imagining whatever they want. Right? And ready? It's time for dinner. Do you think that they're worried about dinner? You think they're thinking about food? You think that when they wake up, they're like, "Man, I don't know what I'm going to wear today." I mean, they do because it's fun, not because they're worried how they're going to look. That's what we do as adults. He said you have to come like a child because a child doesn't calculate every little thing. A child just believes. It's such a simple faith. It's such a simple thing that we get all bogged up and clogged up because we try to figure everything out and we try to understand everything. And I'm like having this re-revelation again that I don't need to understand anything. I need to just understand really a couple simple, very, very simple things, very, very simple things, which is, there's obviously good and evil. I mean, it's obvious. I don't know how people can deny this. You know, the evolutionists, I bring that up a lot too because, you know, it's really religion. I'm really fighting against this religion of our society today. It's a religion based on self. You know, there is no God but me. I've decided I'm smarter than God. Whatever I say is what's right. That's what we have in society today. And that mindset that's not in a child, right? A child, a little baby, imagines and just wanders around and thinks, but they have a parent there to steer them. And that's the whole purpose of parenting, is not just so that you can have the experience of having a child in your life. That's amazing. But the whole reason that there's a parent is to steer the child in the way they should go. That's what our Bible says. Train up your children in the way they should go, so that when they grow old, they won't depart from it. So God is constantly speaking to us, wooing us, showing us, teaching us. It's so clear, just very simple, 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 that there's evil. Well, come on, everybody knows there's evil. Nobody wants to acknowledge God, but as soon as something evil happens, that's evil. Listen, why is rape and murder evil? I don't understand how the evolutionists can even make such a stupid claim. How can somebody that says we don't matter, that we came from nothing, there's no point to our existence, and we cease to exist after this, then who cares who kills who? How is that murder? Why do we even have a system that punishes that? Soon that's going away. You can see, right? Start letting, because the thing is, we open this door, it's Pandora's box, right? Now you start saying you can do anything and be anybody and be with anybody and do it. That's what happens. Little by little, you start to see it, right? We start opening prison doors. We start looking like weirdos. I'll leave that right there. Because we've gotten in our heads, society has gotten in their heads, and they think they're so smart. They think they've got everything figured out, except that they've got it, and they've got it figured out than the last generation a little bit better, right? Each generation thinks they've got it figured out better than the last. And then somebody else will reinvent society again. We literally have revolutions and renaissances and ages. We call them ages because of this, right? Where an entire idea, an entire concept of way of living in society, etc., gets wiped out and a new one comes in that's better. Hopefully I'm not all over the place. Like I told you, this is a lot. Jesus begins talking with them and he says to them, he says, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, we had hoped that this Jesus, we hoped that he was the Savior. But he was crucified, but maybe there's some talks that maybe he's alive. And he says this in Luke 24, verse 25, then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets, all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them. Now, this is what's amazing. This is what I want us to get today. It's not our job to convince other people of Jesus by any means except the truth of the Word of God. We think, oh, well, they're not going to understand it. We think it's just too much for them. The problem is we've removed the Word of God and we've tried to replace it with feelings and experience, which have their place. I mean, who has had experiences with God? But on the foundation of the Word of God. Because without the foundation of the Word of God, all it is just a feeling. Right? Like I said, a child has an imagination. That's great. God can work with that. I want us to see today, God didn't teach you the entire Bible the moment you said yes to Him, but the very first thing He did is begin to teach you. And that's the way He steers us. I want us to see, you don't need the Bible to understand there's sin and there's darkness. You don't need the Bible to understand that murder is evil. It's evil because it's evil. There's something instinctual. That's what I was trying to make this point. I know I was kind of saying a lot of things, but I'm trying to say that society is going crazy because we're trying to blur those lines. We're saying those lines don't matter, and this is what you get. You get chaos. And it happens because they say there's no God. That's what Romans 1 is saying. But all we have to do is you just acknowledge that He exists. I don't need to understand Him. And suddenly some things become very clear. There's obviously darkness and there's light. There's obviously evil and there's right. Plain and simple. Well, how do we get steered? How does God do it? He steers us through the scriptures. You know what Jesus did? Jesus didn't give them a big show. He didn't play a video of Him on the cross and be like, look, I also went to heaven. Look at heaven. It's so amazing. Let me show you God. Let me show you the angels and crack open their eyes so they could see into the Spirit. You know what He did? He went through the scriptures with them. Jesus, the Son of God, thought the most important way to show you that you've gotten in your head, you know, you thought, you hoped, you felt, you're in this place, you're not quite sure what to think. Well, let me teach you how to think, and it's through my word. We need to realize that this Bible, this Word of God, is so powerful. Jesus, the Son of God, standing there in the flesh, decided to teach them the Word. Even though He is the Word made flesh, even though it all points to Him. And so what it says is he began to speak them to them and show them. And then it says that they said, Jesus, come back and spend some time with, they don't know He's Jesus yet. So they didn't say Jesus, sorry. But they said, hey, you, that person that's following us, their eyes are blinded. They don't know it's Jesus yet. But hey, just Jewish culture, can you come on back to our home? We'll have a meal with you. And they do. And the Bible says in verse 30 that He took the bread and he blessed it. He breaks it. He gives it to them. And suddenly, verse 31, their eyes were opened and they recognized Him,
And at that moment, he disappeared. And it says in verse 32, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? I want us to see something. And I talked about this on Resurrection Sunday. I talked about this last week, and now this is week three. I'm talking about this again. Even the disciples got in their heads when they decided that the scriptures weren't the only thing that mattered. They took their feelings, their experiences, they saw Jesus get crucified, they didn't understand, so you've got this place of even seeing. I mean, apparently God is not okay with you thinking a certain way, even if you say, I saw it with my own eyes. Apparently, the Lord, he comes to them and says, you foolish people. He didn't say, listen, I get it. I understand. You saw me get put on the cross. I get it. But, you know, it's okay. I'm here now. He says, you foolish people, why did you look with your natural eyes? Why did you look with those eyes and say, well, I saw it? Because let me tell you why this is so important. Why this matters so much. Because in the same way, your mind says, if I haven't seen it, I won't believe it. Come on. I haven't seen it yet. And every time, come on, every single one of us that has prayers in our hearts, there's things that we've been believing God for and you haven't seen it. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how much your faith is so close to God. Somewhere inside of you, and you suppress it and you push it down, you tell the devil to shut up, but still, there's a voice somewhere inside of you. It's so small, maybe for you, that says, God isn't real. He's not going to answer this prayer. It just doesn't work that way. Or whatever other lie the devil's trying to creep in. And that's why God doesn't want us to look with these natural eyes. That's why we can't go based on feelings. Imagine, I've said joke before, Dawn, sorry. I'll bring you up again. Dawn is not a good GPS. Dawn feels the opposite way is right. She just says, I feel like we should go this way. Imagine Christopher Columbus saying, I feel like we should just go this direction. That would be pretty silly, wouldn't it? They still got off course, and he was led by the stars. I'm not sure how that works. I'm sure they knew what they were doing or thought they knew what they were doing, and I think that God knew what he was doing, put him where he wanted him to get, right? Come on. But they at least had the intention of following these stars to get somewhere. They weren't just like, let's just set the sails and let's just go through, let's just see what, you know, I'm not going to worry about God. I'm not going to worry about life and death. I'm not going to worry about those things. I just feel like that'll just kind of, you know, just because it'll just play out in its time and in its way. You know, I don't need to worry about that stuff. It doesn't really matter. How weird for us just to be floating around. Just floating around. Then we say yes to Jesus, and the devil tries to get people right back into that same place where we say, I believe in Jesus. I just don't feel like I really need to know a lot about him because I know inside of him that I know him. You ever met somebody that says, I know him, and you're like, well, how do you know him? Just because I know I do. You know what Jesus said? Jesus says, it's not about who say they know him, because he said a lot of people are going to say they know me, and he's going to cast them out. But you know what Jesus says? It's those who love me. And you know what he said the definition is? Those who obey my commandments are those that love me. So a lot of people think they know. In the same way that we come from this world, right? Because it's the same thing. Your brain thinks you know everything, right? We call that the age of accountability in Christianity. Right? A little child, of course, they think they know everything. But then they hit a point. Now that child is now thinking on their own. And now they definitely, some people it's 9. Some people it's 13. Some people it's 15. Some people are late bloomers. It's 18. But there's a point where, you know, okay, parents, you know, I know better than you at this point. And what happens is now your mind begins to decide
what life is, what love is, you know, right? It starts to decide what it means to exist, what it means to be. And what's happening is now your brain is taking over of God's entire design, which is that you were never meant to decide anything. Now your brain is taking over and saying, I'm going to decide what's right and wrong. And we're right back into the same exact problem that Adam and Eve had in the garden. Which is why Jesus said, I need to bring you back to the scriptures. That's the only thing that matters. And the Bible says, as we fast forward, it says in the same exact chapter, they run back to Jerusalem to tell the 11 disciples, and they say, we've been with Jesus, our eyes were open, this is what happened. And the Bible says that suddenly, just as they were telling the story, in verse 36, Jesus appears with them and says, peace be with you. And then they have this thing going on where they're not sure. They're like, I see him, but he's right there in front of them, in the flesh. You know how many people say, if Jesus would just speak to me himself, I'd believe him. If he would just tell me that truth himself, I'd believe him. No, you wouldn't. Unless you just believe because the scripture said it, you just believe the word because it's the word, I promise you right now, and this is what I'm gonna break down in these final minutes, is that no, you won't. He stood there in front of them, and he says, I'm not a ghost. Touch me. Give me some food. Why did Jesus, the Son of God, first of all, he's standing right in front of them. Second of all, this is the guy that they just spent the last 3.5 years with. Very, very close. This is not just Jesus who wandered through their town once. They're like, he looked familiar. Just some guy. But the Bible says they stood, verse 41, in disbelief. Can you believe it? The 11 disciples are standing there in disbelief. They don't believe their own eyes. Even if your eyes see, here's what I'm going to try to paint for us today. In your mind, you say, no, that's not true. You're going to tell me it's not true, but I'm going to tell you it is. You've already decided if you believe or you don't. You have already decided what you believe before you read the scriptures. We all go into everything in life, not just the Bible, not just into Christianity, every single thing that you enter into. When you enter into a relationship with your spouse, when you first start dating, you're bringing baggage from other men or women. Doesn't matter if you plan to or intend to. And when they say something to you in a certain way, you don't mean to, but you respond to the old person even though you're talking to the new person. Come on, who can testify? You've been there. And you had to learn, hey, this is not the old one, or maybe you got to tell that person, I'm not so-and-so. Every single thing you do in life, you actually bring your own preconceived ideas. Come on, who's ever done something new for the first time? And you're so nervous, and you're like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what it's going to be like. And then after, you're like, it wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad. Who's ever been there? Why were you so nervous if it wasn't that bad? Because you had preconceived ideas of what was going to be bad. And we actually go into everything in life like this, including what matters the most, which is knowing God. Don't think that you can just suddenly shut off your brain, that you have a preconceived idea about every single thing and everybody. As soon as you, right, don't judge a book by its cover, where does that come from? Why do you think we have that statement? Because everybody judges every book by its cover. If we say not to do it, it's because that's what we do. You can't help it. Why? And why do you do that? Because the last time I saw that cover, this is what was inside. So now I'm assuming, without even really thinking, it's actually in a subconscious place. I've already decided who you are based on what you look like. And when you talk a certain way, I just assume that's what you think. You think suddenly Jesus shows up in this room
and he's going to look like what you hoped he would look like? I guarantee there's going to be some things, even as Revelation unfolds, there's going to be a lot of things, for that matter, that are going to surprise us. A lot of things, just because Jesus came and surprised them the first time, don't you think that's possible he's going to surprise us again? That's why he calls it a thief in the night. That's why he says, just be ready all the time. Because if you think you're going to get ready for me to come, you're wrong. You're never, ever going to have everything in order. Just be ready all the time. This way you don't have to try to plan the day or the hour. Why does he tell us that? Because you can set up all your charts you want. I love Revelation charts. When I say this, I'm not knocking them, right? But you can have every preacher put all his charts out in this room. It's going to happen this in 7 years, 3 years, 3.5 years. Daniel, you know, Matthew 28, blah, 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 all these things. Revelation, it's going to happen this way. And then at this exact moment, Antichrist is going to come from Italy. He's going to come from the U.S., going to come from Africa. I don't know. I think there's going to be some things we're going to be surprised by. But we have all those, we have these preconceived ideas, and people are like locked in to these concepts. And then we say things like pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. What about no trib? I'm not saying it's not a tribulation, but what if it's not the 7 years like you expect? What I'm trying to say is that our mind has already made up whether you're going to believe God before God ever actually answers or doesn't answer. Like I said, you could say that's not true. And the Bible says that his own 11 disciples stood there in disbelief. And he said, this is what Jesus' response is to them. He tries to get them to understand by touching him. He allows them to do that. But you know what he says in verse 44? He says, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The scriptures didn't change. God didn't rewrite the words in front of them. They were the same scriptures, whether they understood them or not. God is right here. Whether you want to believe that he exists or not, right, he's here. Because he says he is. Whether you want to believe or not doesn't change the fact that he is. And in the same way, Jesus said he would come, and he did. He said he would go to the cross, and he did. He said he's coming again, and he will. And it doesn't matter if you understand, these things will happen. And in the same way, now let's make it personal, in every area in your life, doesn't matter whether you understand, doesn't matter what you feel. Well, I just feel like this. I just don't feel good today. That must mean God's not near me. Something just feels off. Maybe. I'm not saying that you don't have feelings for a reason, right? I was thinking about this. You know, God gave us fear for a reason. We're just supposed to have it under control, right? They become phobias if they're out of control. A phobia is an irrational fear. And there's one, it's called aerophobia. This was interesting because my son just went on a plane. Aerophobia is an irrational fear that says all airplanes crash and I can't go on one. And it won't let you. You can't go on one. Now, a natural fear is, well, it does happen. Something to think about, so I'm a little nervous. The reason we have that natural fear by God is otherwise we would just walk off cliffs. We would just drive through traffic like people do today. Apparently, they've got no fear the way they're driving. But we have fear so that we would stop and say, you know, I need to yield right now, not because it's annoying that, I mean, sometimes the lights and stop signs are annoying, but I'm going to respect them because I have fear that if I don't, if you don't care about someone's life, maybe you care about the payment for you running that stop sign. But the reason that we have those fears, the reason we have that thing inside of us is to actually get us to stop. It's not to control us, but to stop and think. In the same way, your mind is got all these preconceived ideas. Your mind is actually reading scriptures with it's already thought, it's already decided. Listen, I'm going to show you right now if you don't believe me. You think, no, I'm just reading the Bible for what it says, and I believe everything in its fullness and its wholeness. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to get saved. And this is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. And speaking of these things in all of his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand. Everybody say, sometimes the Bible is hard to understand. But then it says this. So sometimes something is hard to understand, right? Sometimes things that Jesus said are hard to understand. Praise God that we're not left there. I think this is what we're going to get into next week. He doesn't leave us there in our lack of understanding. But this is what it says. But it says, those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters. You know, this is the exact thing that Satan did with Eve. He's twisted a truth. He took a truth, which is, if you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened. You'll become like God. He did not lie when he said that. That is exactly what happened. Their eyes were opened and they became like God, which is God knows everything. God knows good and evil. We weren't really even supposed to be aware of evil. We were just supposed to be in his presence. He didn't lie. What he didn't tell was, and the twisting is, that he got them into their brains to think that, I don't know what the consequences are, or maybe God won't be as harsh as he says he'll be. Maybe he won't send me to hell. Maybe I can just sin, even though the Bible says I shouldn't, because it actually leads to death. Maybe for me, he's going to make a special exception, and I'm going to go to heaven anyway. Or whatever other twisting we can do to scripture. You know, you can twist any scripture to mean anything. And so that's what it says that people do. It says, unstable people, ignorant people, they've twisted it to mean something different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. See, their mind doesn't understand. So instead of seeking the one, they try to come up with reasons, reasonings. In Ephesians 4, we're not going to turn there, but Ephesians 4 says that the Gentiles, right, those without the Lord, they're hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God because they've closed. Actually, let's pull this up. Ephesians 4, verse 18. It's actually important. It says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives them because they, everybody, let's read this out loud. They have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Which means, you know, sometimes there's, you want to crack open that thought about trying to understand God and understand his word. You're going to, good luck, you can spend the rest of your life trying to crack that code. You're never, ever, ever going to fully understand. Ever. Come on, who is finding your understanding new things today? You've been walking with the Lord a long time and you're still coming to understand new things now that you didn't understand before. Or there's a more of a fullness to the understanding. You kind of did, but now, thank God, in his grace and mercy, he didn't strike you with lightning and kill you when you didn't quite understand, but your heart wanted to understand. And here's how I'm going to close it. The Bible says that they've already closed their minds. The disciples had already made up their minds that Jesus died, which means even when he stood there in person, in the flesh, a mind that has made up a decision is the heart. It's I'm not saying that God can't move.
because God's God. But there's one thing in our Bible, it's very strange. Again, like I said, I'm not going to try to crack this code. But there seems to be one thing that God doesn't touch, and it's a hard heart and a closed mind. I'm not saying that he doesn't constantly put himself in front of them and call to them and love them and show them life. But there seems to be one thing that God doesn't go past, and it's if you closed your mind to him, he's not going to force you to believe anything. He will present himself right there to you. Suddenly, your eyes, you need a revelation from God. And it's not just once. It's not just I got saved, my eyes were suddenly open. Come on, who can testify that it's like this? You didn't even know, as I started to say at the beginning of the sermon, who Jesus was or what he was about. But there's something about this Jesus. I need to know him. So you began down this journey. You still don't know him. You don't know. You can't say I knew him like I know him now. But you would have said you knew him then. Your understanding has been growing. It's been opening. But you went into it saying, I believe, even though you didn't understand. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that it's every single area in our Bible, every truth, every promise. So this is the concepts in the Bible that we don't understand, and this is the prophecies that we don't understand. When you come across a verse you don't quite get, you don't understand it, you're like, God, how could you be like that? God, how can you just send an entire city, Sodom and Gomorrah, just under the ashes? I don't understand how a loving God can just destroy people like that. And you know what you need to do? You need to come to that place where your mind starts to calculate, start to figure God out and say, I'm not going to try to understand. I'm just going to believe that you're the God that you said you are, that you are faithful, that you're loving, that you're gracious, that you're merciful. And you take these concepts, these truths, and you put them over top of your understanding. And then you know what happens? Come on, who can testify? Then you do understand some things. You don't actually understand until you're willing to understand. It's actually like stepping out, like just like all that faith is. God, I'm going to believe you in this area. And I have no proof, except that you said it, that you're going to do this. But I believe that you're going to do it. And who has seen, who can testify for the rest of the day that you have done that so many times, right? And said, God, I'm just going to trust you. And this is so scary. And you know, that's like the child that I mentioned earlier. That's why we need to become like children. We get into our heads, and I just feel like the Lord wanted to deal with this. And like I said, I'm going to get into it a little bit more next week because we'll deal with how to deal with these thoughts. Your mind begins to, these things are called strongholds, and your brain, we get these areas that are locked up. And I'm not saying, this is not about going to heaven or hell. Like, you're a believer, you're walking with God, you love God, and yet you can still have strongholds your whole life that'll keep you from the freedom that God's called you to. It'll keep you from doing and being all the things God's called you to be. Amen. Well, let's get more into that next week, but let's just pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. I thank you that there's so much power in your word. I thank you for the life that is within your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would put this down inside of our hearts like good seed in good ground. I pray, Lord, you would unlock, Lord, our hearts, those places inside of all of us that are stubborn, they're stiff-necked. Lord, they're closed off to you. We may not even realize it. Lord, I pray you would open our hearts. Lord, give us a supernatural revelation, Lord, so that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be open. It might just be a tiny glimpse today, but I pray that we would say, yes, Lord, I'm going to choose to believe you more than I ever have before. And I thank you, Lord, I pray in advance that we're going to see miraculous things come. We're going to see, thank you, Lord, you do things in our lives and through our lives we never, ever would have thought possible because we believed you and trusted you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.